Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
It's time for Freaky Rapid Fire.
Whose side are you taking, whether it's sports or not? Answer along in your car.
With Freaky's Rapid Fire on John and Hugh, Sports Radio 92.9, The Game.
Morning show on Sports Radio 92.9, The Game on this Tuesday. If you're in your car, your truck, you're out there working in the rain, do stay dry, be safe, no property damage, all that kind of good stuff. Whether you're headed to work or headed to vote or whatever you're going to do on this Tuesday here. Be careful, be safe out there. Let's do a little rapid fire where I ask Hugh and Abe questions. You can answer them in your car. And we are going to begin with the discussion that we just ended with here. We now know the four finalists that are going to go to New York. And it doesn't have to be four. It can be two. It can be five. It all depends upon the number of votes that separate the recipients. So what tells us about these is that all four of these got enough votes that it's a pretty close vote. And that all four got enough votes that all four were invited to New York, C.J. Stroud, Max Duggan, Caleb Williams, and Stetson Bennett. So the question is, Hugh, who do you think will win, not who do you want to win, but who do you think will win the Heisman Trophy?
I'm rooting for the underdog. I'm rooting for Stetson Bennett. I know that, you know, for everything that Abe said, he's right. The numbers would be, like, he would probably have the absolute worst numbers as a Heisman winner. But I like the kid's grit, and I think a lot of people are going to relate to the fact that they can relate to Stetson Bennett's story. A lot of people can relate to that. I think that's important. So I'm rooting for Stetson Bennett.
Well, he's got one stat that no other three don't have, and that's a zero next to his name as he goes to New York. So who do you think is going to win the Heisman, Abe?
I think it's going to be Caleb Williams, and it should be Caleb Williams. And I want to say this about the prospect of Stetson Bennett winning the Heisman. And this has nothing against Stetson. He's had a great few years there at Georgia. If Stetson Bennett wins the Heisman, it 100% degrades the award.
Wow.
There is wow. no one in the country.
Besides J.J. McCarthy, who has zero losses.
What do I care about losses? It's not. Is it a team award? It's individual excellence. There is no one who can sit here and tell me they honestly believe Stetson Bennett is the best quarterback on that list.
Well, I'm not sure he's the best player in college football.
Okay,
but that's
then why is he winning the award?
Because the Heisman is for the top quarterback on the top team.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
Not even that.
He's not the top quarterback.
Top quarterback on top team. If you're limiting just that, but you know that's a garbage. That's a garbage answer, John.
Wait a second now.
We've seen multiple quarterbacks win who are not the number one team in the country. We've seen that multiple times.
All right. So
I don't buy that.
Okay, but I'm going to tell you why I think it might be Stetson, and I think it will be. I'm beginning to think it might actually be Stetson Bennett. Heisman voters could have voted last week, and I think they waited. I really do, Hugh. I think they waited this year. I think a good chunk. This is why. When it was announced that Stetson Bennett was going to New York and not Hendon Hooker, I think all these voters in the South flipped from Hooker to Bennett. I think a huge chunk of them did. And if a huge chunk of late votes came in on Stetson Bennett, and it's close, like I say, all four are close, it's possible he could eke out a win and win the Heisman Trophy.
The mere fact
it's not gonna be close.
The mere fact that
it's got to be closer. You wouldn't have four guys there.
The mere fact that he has been penciled in this late in the game should be a huge indicator
yep.
to you.
I think 2, 3, and 4 might be close. I think it's a runaway for Caleb Williams.
Well, we'll see when the voting comes out.
If anything, after watching Championship Saturday, honestly, I think Max Duggan carried quite a bit of extra votes as compared to what he would have gotten.
And that's why I think there's going to be ticket splitting. And remember,
yeah, it'll be close.
Second place votes will count a lot.
I hear what you're saying, and you might be right, but I think that a lot of the voters relate more with Stetson Bennett. And I think that's a big part of voting.
Yep, I do too.
I think that's a big part of voting, is that a lot of people, like, people can relate to his story more so than any of those other three guys on that panel.
I mean, he's about to take his team to back-to-back national titles.
Because he has had so, like, he could have transferred. He didn't. He stayed. He waited his turn. You know, they used to call him the mailman. Now they call him that dude. Like, mm-hmm. they call him
that.
He went
to the milkman now.
That guy,
milkman,
whatever they call him. Whatever
the
like, think about it like this. Think about it like this in the pantheon of nicknames. Like, you only got one. You got the teleporter. We gave you that. You got that. Your friends gave you that. He's had, like, two or three nicknames in his lifetime. As a man, you only get one, maybe two.
You know what?
He got three.
You make a great point, Hugh. Here's a 30 for 30 for you, Stetson. You don't get a Heisman because I relate to your story. This is an award
zero
that
next
demonstrates
to his name. Zero
excellence.
Next to his, yeah. Well, how, again, how excellent.
Elite excellence. He
took a team that lost 15 starters to the NFL and has them right back at zero.
And this might, y'all might think I'm being a little bit crazy with this, but who has won the Heisman that his story relates to the most? I'm going to let you go, Abe, because I think you know I'm going with this. Come on now.
I have no idea.
Tim
Tebow was far and away the best player in college that year.
But,
Stetson Bennett's not in that discussion.
But it's a relatable story. Tim Tebow's story is relatable. Do
you know what else is relatable? 50 touchdowns. 50 of them things, Hugh.
Okay, let's move on rapid fire here. We've made our votes here, and we'll see. I think late vote could actually swing it. All right, here's one. Scott Satterfield.
I didn't even like Stetson Bennett at the beginning of the year. I like the guy now.
So Scott Satterfield, Hugh,
yes,
leaves Louisville as the head coach, replaces Luke Fickell as the new head coach at Cincinnati. There is a catch, though. Louisville is playing in the Fenway Bowl against Cincinnati. So Satterfield should coach his old Louisville team, his new Cincinnati team, or just sit this one out.
Deion coaching next week, ain't he? Go ahead and coach, man.
Which one?
Coach Cincinnati, whoever. I don't care.
No, that's why I'm asking you. Should he coach his old Louisville team?
This is so obvious. It's such an easy answer.
Or sit this one out.
Louisville.
You coach the first half for Louisville. You slide over at halftime and coach the second half for Cincinnati. It's a passing of the baton, if you will.
But do you wear neutral colors while you're coaching? Do you, like, how do you, how
they
you
both got red.
Red.
What's the
just
difference?
Wear red. You wear red, you're good.
Why do you think I asked, do you wear neutral colors?
And by the way, they share a sideline at Fenway Park. You know,
they just slide on down.
You just slide on down. You already have to cross the field.
Here's the water station. Here's the other team.
I wonder how that worked. Like seriously, all jokes aside, like, Deion's going to Colorado,
mm-hmm.
but he's coaching in the Celebration Bowl.
Right.
Like, does anybody listen to what you have to say? Like, does your message still resonate with the kids after the fact?
They're still curious. Playing for something. They're still playing for something.
If they play.
Yeah.
Because, you know, how many Jackson State players went into the portal?
Right? They'll probably regret that if they don't play. They're playing for something still.
Yeah, okay. I mean, you're still coming to Atlanta. Still coming to Atlanta. So, yeah.
On the list of gimmicky sponsor contests in the title games and stuff, the halftime, the Dr. Pepper football toss, and apparently it's getting a lot of play on the Twitter there, this football toss for money, because nobody throws overhand anymore. They just kind of option pass it to you. Have you been seeing these people just shuttle it in there, you know?
Path of least resistance. Yeah. Ain't that how y'all like it? Path of least resistance?
So people are mad at this thing, and they're tired of it. They're all,
that was
all
right. A shot.
So
that
do you like shot. The Dr. Pepper football toss? You say, I like it, it's good fun, or it's already tired, come up with something new?
I like the $100,000 gifts they're giving away. So, yeah, I like it.
And they had the whole controversy about the tie and overtime.
It wasn't a controversy. They did the right thing.
They got pressured into it, sure. Yeah.
Well, ain't that how most stuff gets done around these
parts? I'm just saying, I'm not exactly jumping to give Dr. Pepper credit.
Ain't that how life works? You do the right thing once you're pressured into doing it. Ain't that how marriage works?
He
wouldn't know that. Don't ask him that.
Why are you asking me?
I'm gonna get lit up for that comment.
Yep. But you're not wrong.
Tell me, is it how it works? I don't know.
My Twitter about to be on fire in 3, 2, 1.
It needs to be further back so they have to throw the football.
What, really?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Really? You want to make it harder for
man,
the people?
And have
you
nobody,
want to make it harder for
she
people to get
She wants 1-0.
Who did?
You want to make it hard?
They had 8 made in 15 seconds in the tiebreak.
1-0, the final score. All right. Anyway, we didn't get this one yesterday because we got so busy here. I'm curious. The U.S. In the World Cup, this is kind of the bow on the World Cup stuff for us. Getting rolled by the Netherlands, and the young team got exposed in that 3-1 loss. Your answers are: the cup is coming here. The future is bright with this young team, or we got a long way to go before we can truly contend.
The future's bright.
Right. Hugh says, cup's coming here, future's bright with this young team, or we got a long way to go.
Yeah, it's a convenient mixture of the two. I actually think the team performed quite well in that game. I thought they did well for themselves. The U.S. doesn't have a finisher. There's just no world-class striker here. Are we going to find one in the next 4 years? I don't see any, like, super obvious candidates that are kind of up and coming, but still – so. If you're asking me, they got to find a striker from a pool of guys that I don't know about yet. So I'm going to say it's a long road. Yes. Or is that what the answer?
A long way to go before you
can. Yeah, they got a long way to go because they got to find a premier striker.
It is World Trick Shot Day. I didn't know there was such a thing.
By the way, the
Steph video is not real, okay?
What?
The Steph full court video, it's a fake.
What? It's the same thing as LeBron did. You mean LeBron's is fake too?
You mean Brady's was fake? Yeah.
Mike Vick didn't throw that ball into the third row, third deck?
National Microwave Oven Day. How often would you say, Hugh, you use your microwave oven?
Not as much as I used to. No, I don't. Not as much. Probably say once, twice a week, something like that.
I use my microwave every single day.
I mean, at least multiple times a day.
Yeah. Yeah, multiple times a day.
I haven't been using mine lately. So, yeah, I've been, like, I was telling Sandra in the break yesterday, I made some beef jerky. It wasn't supposed to be beef jerky, but I bought some chuck roast, right? I put some of that onion soup mix on it, and I put some butter and stuff, and I put it in the oven, and I cooked it too long. Boy, that was a tough piece of meat. It was really tough. But I didn't want to, like, I didn't throw it away. But boy, my teeth were hurting after I ate that piece of meat. It was like eating a belt. It didn't taste bad, but it was just, man, it was so tough. I left it in the oven too long, man. I've been trying to cook a little bit lately. I've been experimenting.
Would you put it in a Dutch oven and throw it in the oven?
No, I put it in the regular oven.
No. A bowl, an oven, like ready bowl. Call it a Dutch oven. You know, one of those Dutch, you know.
No.
It's just like a big, okay.
No.
Yeah.
I put it in the oven. Because the Dutch oven, to me, has a whole different meaning than what you're talking about, John Freaking. Dutch oven means something totally different. Mm. And most married guys out there know exactly what I'm talking about. Abe, you wouldn't know nothing about a Dutch oven.
He ain't married.
But you need to look. Abe, laugh. Even Abe know what a Dutch oven is.
Actually, I think of Dutch ovens. I think of you put in the oven.
Hey, when you're married, it takes on a whole different meaning.
I have one more rapid-fire question, but I'm not going to get to it. But since it's an NFL question, I can hold it till after the break here. And it involves a particular coach and a particular job. We'll have to ask that after the break here. We'll get to that. A particular coach and a particular job. Also, a particular quarterback at a particular team. And faking injuries. The headlines in the NFL segment next with John and Hugh on the Morning Show on Sports Radio 99 The Game. And the Odyssey app.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
As the kids say, it's going to get real up in here.
Back to more John and Hugh.
Here we go. On Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Keeping you in the loop as John and Hugh cover every scoop.
It's time to take a look around the league. It's NFL Headlines with John and Hugh.
Let's do it.
Ready? Fight.
Sports Radio 92.9, The Game.
Morning show on Sports Radio 92.9, The Game. National Football League last night, Tom Brady and the Bucs rally. Down 16-3 in the final 3 minutes of the game, Brady throws two touchdown passes and they beat the Swampers. Normally, I'd be celebrating like mad. This stinky town got beat in the final 3 minutes of the game. Ha, 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 ha. They dropped to 4-9 and all that kind of good stuff. But unfortunately for the Atlanta Falcons, they kind of needed a stupid New Orleans Saints to win the game. And they, you know, when they're up 16-3, they didn't get it done, Hugh. So as a result, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers go to 6-6 and are now a game and a half ahead of the Atlanta Falcons, who are at 5-8 in the NFC South. And so, you got four games to go, and we'll see what the Bucs do against the San Francisco 49ers this coming Sunday when the bye week happens for the Atlanta Falcons. If Tampa wins that game, and remember, at the moment, it's Brock Purdy that they're facing a quarterback for San Francisco, Mr. Mm-hmm. Irrelevant. Tampa wins that game, they're going to be 7-6, two full games up with four to go. That's a pretty high bar, Hugh, that you're going to have to hit.
So we still talking playoffs? You still talking playoffs?
Well, I mean, we're just talking about mathematically not eliminated, that okay. kind of thing. That's okay. all. That's what we're talking about. Mathematically not eliminated. That's what we're saying. And so you need San Francisco. Now, the question becomes about San Francisco is that there are rumors. Baker Mayfield finally just Carolina and Baker Mayfield moved on. Okay, so Baker's out there. He's going to have to clear waivers. There are some people who believe that given the injuries to Trey Lance and then to Jimmy Garoppolo, who's out both out for the year, that Brock Purdy, Mr. Irrelevant, last player drafted, a former Iowa State quarterback who played pretty well last week when he was thrust into the Niners game and that win over Miami, that in order to win a Super Bowl still, that the Niners are going to have to possibly dig into that Baker Mayfield world and bring him in. Are you one who sees them doing that, or you, when you bring a quarterback in this late in the year, is it too difficult to do, trying to get him up to speed? Would you just dance with Brock Purdy?
I would probably bring him in. You still need somebody to back him up. So, yeah, you would bring him in to be the backup and try to get him up to speed as fast as you possibly can. So they'll probably bring him in.
Yeah, because somebody's going to bite on Baker, I would think, given the state of quarterback in the NFL. Right now, Baker Mayfield can just, have a life and existence as that kind of well-traveled hired gun that can be a backup. We'll see how San Francisco decides to play this and whether or not, because I think if they're going to do it, they're going to do it, as soon as he clears the waiver. Now, the question is, does he clear waivers? Here's the question here that was left over, and it's about rumors that are flying out of Indiana. Rumors are flying that the Colts want to make Jim Harbaugh an offer he cannot refuse. He played in Indianapolis for a number of years, was the Colts' starting quarterback for a long time. There's a belief that Jim Harbaugh might flirt with the NFL again and jump back into the NFL once more. So your answers are, Hugh, Jim Harbaugh will jump back to the NFL or he will use these rumors to milk Michigan for all it's worth.
Didn't they just pay him some money?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know about milking him. He'll probably – I don't know. I think he might entertain him. To get back in the NFL, he might entertain him.
Yeah, he's got the one Super Bowl appearance. He's one of the few coaches who actually has succeeded. It's such a rarity to succeed at both. Think of how many coaches in have succeeded at both. What, Jimmy Johnson? I guess to a degree, Barry Switzer, I guess. Pete Carroll, right? And Jim Harbaugh. I mean, the list is kind of short. Otherwise, coaches, Hugh, that go from the NFL to college, don't necessarily work. We see that failure a lot of times where a college guy hires an NFL guy. And guys who go from college to the NFL, star coaches, so many of them fail. So many of them, because who you play both, they're just two totally different animals, right? And you got to be able to, it's really hard to adjust to the two of them, I would think.
Coach Harbaugh's done a good job of doing that. He's had success at both levels. So, yeah, he's a good coach.
Then there's another story that the NFL has now sent out a memo to all 32 teams warning players that they could be suspended and that draft picks could be taken from their teams if these players fake injuries to stop the clock.
Who did that this weekend when he fell down in the huddle? I saw it. Oh, I can't remember what team it was, but somebody fell down in the huddle. I saw it because that's what they were talking about because they needed a break. And I can't remember what I was watching when I saw that happen. But anyway, yeah, I get that because it was just blatant. Like, he was in the huddle. It was a defensive player. He was in the huddle, and he just – was that us? Was that us? I'm not sure. We just fell out in the huddle. He fell out in the huddle. Yeah, I see. They need to stop that. They definitely need to stop that.
It's gotten ridiculous. Did you ever fake an injury?
Yes.
All right, give me your best story of faking an injury.
I just, like, fell out, like you fall down, you get hit or something, you fall down, and they say, hey, stay on the ground because you're just trying to get a team a blow, mm-hmm. trying to get a defense a blow. Because that's usually when you do it. It's on the defensive side when you're trying to get somebody a blow or you're trying to change personnel or something like that. But that this play that I saw, it was blatant. It was a blatant play. And that's why it has become an issue, because this was blatant. Because Buddy just fell straight down. He fell down, did not pass go, did not collect $200. He just quit.
I get this memo, and you're warning the players you could be suspended for a game or two. You could have draft picks taken from your team. But what I don't get is, I mean, I you want to stop faking injuries. I understand that. But I don't know. How do you prove it? I mean, I guess.
This one was blatant. This one, the one that I'm thinking about, John, it was a blatant dude just fell down. Dude just fell down, and it was like nobody was around him. It was all his teammates, and he just dropped to the floor. So that's why they're saying it. If I'm not mistaken, that was why this memo was sent out, mm-hmm. because it was blatant, and the ref, you know, I mean, what do? A player's in the huddle, he gets hurt, you know, you got to call it. But it was blatant. It was a blatant fake.
Yeah, I want to go back to the beginning of the show for the benefit of the audience who's just joining us here. We're going to talk a little bit about what Arthur Smith said, the head coach of the Atlanta Falcons, when it revolved around.
Thank you, Reginald. It was Jesse Bates. It was the Cincinnati Bengals. That's who it was. Because I remember seeing, I just couldn't remember what. Yeah, it was. It was the Kansas City. Yeah, that's what it was. Thanks a lot, brother. I appreciate that.
And this is Arthur Smith. Before the Bucs rallied to beat the Saints yesterday, somebody in the news conference asked the Falcons head coach whether or not a Bucs win or a Saints win would help him determine who he might choose to be the starting quarterback, you know, for the final four games of the year between Mariota and Ridder. And this is what the coach said.
You know, we've got to get over this hump here, and there's a lot of things at stake. So that will not have an impact. It's what's going to be best for this team, short term and long term.
Yep. What's best for the team in the future, short term and long term. Hugh, I read that as saying that, you know what, I think we're going with Ridder. Now, that's just how I read it. Am I reading it wrong?
Well, that's how you're reading it, John. I can't tell you whether you're reading it right or wrong. It's one of those things. I read it as him saying, basically doubling down and being convinced that Marcus Mariota gives you the best chance of winning. Like, it's about winning. I don't know any coach that's going to go out there and say, you know, hey, trying to lose. That's just like saying we went on and talked about how last week, how Coach Tomlin is on the verge of having his first losing season as a coach. Then he goes out there and wins a game. He's trying to, like, everybody's trying to win, man. And if they felt, in my opinion, that Desmond Ridder gives them the best chance of winning, he would be out there, John. Bottom line, if coach makes that decision, it's because he feels at this point that Desmond Ridder gives him the best chance of winning. It's not about getting him ready to play or anything like that. He just looks – it to me, it's Marcus Mariota does not give us the best chance of winning. That's what that says to me.
Yeah, I don't know what the timeline on this is. Dave Archer was on our show yesterday. If you missed Dave, he was talking about it. And Dave came out and kind of surprising a little bit to us, a little bit to me, that he was so vocal, or at least direct to the point, when Dave Archer said, hey, listen, it's time for Desmond Ridder to start for this team. I don't know what we'll get if Desmond Ridder does start. I imagine that, you know, the initial reaction will be, you know, probably pretty positive until he gets out there in the field and actually starts to make plays and looks like a rookie. Because I think we all have to understand he's going to look like a rookie. I mean, that's going to happen. All rookies look like rookies.
So that's why it kind of boggles my mind when we talk about, hey, he gives us the best chance of winning, but we're going to still be in the hunt for the playoff. Like, if you put Desmond Ridder out there, kiss the baby. Like, for real, kiss the baby, because you're to me, you're basically saying, hey, whatever happens, I'm okay with it. But it doesn't seem like it's gonna be a win. So if we put Desmond out there, we might well go ahead and stop talking about the playoffs.
Morning show with John and Hugh here. Roddy Jones, ACC and ESPN college football analyst, jumping into the program. Brent Key, the head coach of Georgia Tech, made some pretty strong statements. What does the former Tech star Roddy Jones think about those? Next on Sports Radio 92 on The Game and the Odyssey app.
It's John and Hugh.
Wake up
on Sports Radio 92.9.
Well, that sounds lovely.
The Game.
Morning Star coverage of college football and counting down to the Heisman and to the national championship semifinals continues as we switch now to Roddy Jones, who is ACC and ESPN network analyst, former Tech star, and he joins us this morning as he does on the WadeFord.com hotline. Hey, Roddy.
What's up, gentlemen? How are y'all?
Pretty good, pretty good. So, Roddy, Coach Key is the guy for Georgia Tech. Realistically, what do you think his expectations are for the next 3 years?
I think they should certainly be a bowl team for the next 3 years. And I think as much of the results is, or, I mean, as much as the results are going to be a part of it, I think the way they play is going to be a part of it, because under the previous administration, like, there were just so many questionable losses, so many questionable performances, that if they play consistently, like, that's a significant improvement. But with the way the ACC is going to be, like, there's I don't think any league benefited more than the ACC from COVID. And you're going to have teams like Wake Forest, teams like NC State, that have all these really old rosters that are sort of those guys are falling off over the next few seasons. So there's going to be a bit of a void there. And while Florida State's getting better, I mean, with Tech playing Clemson, Louisville, and Wake Forest every year, Scott Satterfield just left Louisville. We'll see what they do. I think there's an opportunity there to be at least a bowl team. And then, you know, we'll see past that. You know, with the portal and everything like that, it's kind of hard to project 3 years out. But I think they should certainly be a bowl team for the next 3 years.
Yeah, you were mentioning the portal. It was nice and quiet yesterday, wasn't it?
Jeez. Yeah,
I mean, wait. Roddy, 62 quarterbacks in one day. 62.
Yeah, and like that rate isn't going to continue, obviously, because it was the first day the portal was open, and some of it's like, hey, we see a guy that we want. Why don't you go find somewhere else? We've seen a number of coaches say the quiet part out loud. Mario Cristobal said it down at Miami. Deion Sanders said it at Colorado. A lot of these portal guys are guys that coaches want in the portal. Now, what percentage? I don't know. And then obviously the quarterback market, especially when you get older quarterbacks want to play. So if you have a senior like Cade McNamara who got beat out, he's going to jump in the portal. If you have a guy who didn't have success, like a Phil Dracovic who had an injury and they've got a freshman that they really like, he's going to jump in the portal. It's the nature of the position. So it's not surprising. It's just the world we live in now.
What do you think DJU from Clemson, where do you think he's going to land?
I have no idea, man. And that's the really hard part about it. Like,
yeah,
Projecting where these guys go is really difficult, because, like, does he want to go back home? There's familiarity with the ACC. Should he stay there? So I don't know, man. Like, I don't even know, Power 5, Group of 5, and we don't know about the relationships, and we certainly don't know about the money. So I have no idea. I do think a fresh start is best for everybody in that situation,
though. Were you surprised at all by Devin Leary at NC State?
I was not. I've been around that program late in the year, and I thought the general feeling was that Devin Leary was going to get in the portal, because they really like MJ Morris, and college football teams and rosters work best with turnover, even at the quarterback position, because if Devin Leary were to stay and you're asking MJ Morris to sit another year, well, MJ Morris has proven how good he is. So if he jumps in the portal, then you're really in a place that you don't want to be from a quarterback position, because there's a hole there that, you know, when Devin Leary leaves, you're either having to go and plug it with a grad transfer, or you're having to play a true freshman. So from a roster management situation, I was not surprised at all.
We're talking with Roddy Jones. He's the ACC and ESPN analyst and, of course, former Tech star. Do you think now, watching the TCU loss to Kansas State, that Dabo Swinney is kicking himself for not going to K-Klubnik earlier in the year?
I would guess so. I mean, knowing Dabo a little bit, I would say probably not, because he's going to stand by his reasoning at the time. But, yeah, man, like, DJ was 6-for-20 at one point in that South Carolina game, which obviously that wasn't the only marker, but that was a pretty big one where you look up and the dude is completing 30% of his passes. And there's a lot of time left in the game. So at that point, why wouldn't you go to Cade? And like, even so, if Antonio Williams holds on to that ball at the end, they are just on the fringe of field goal range for BT Potter. So while all in all, it definitely played a part, his performance played a part in them losing against South Carolina, it didn't completely cost them the game because they still had a chance to win with that punt return had they held on to it. But if I'm someone in that building, I am absolutely thinking, wow, we should have gone to Cade, certainly in the South Carolina game, maybe even before that, and we would have been in the college football playoffs because everything that needed to happen for Clemson to get in with one loss happened.
Right, exactly. Roddy Jones joining us on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. We talked earlier, and we just had a little kind of internal vote here. I think, this is my guess, that the Heisman voters flipped late from Hooker to Stetson Bennett. Why Stetson ended up in New York. And as a result, Roddy, I think that may give us a leading indicator that this could be a pretty close vote.
I think so, too. Who did you guys' internal vote come out as? Because I have no idea who's going to win.
Well, I think Hugh and I both took Stetson. And
I took Stetson Bennett because he's relatable.
And Abe took Caleb Williams in a route.
Yeah, I think it's going to be Caleb Williams just because I don't know if the voters voted before the championship games or not, and there was a significant portion apparently that voted before the championship games, which I think should be criminal. But I mean, Stetson Bennett's surge is interesting. I do also think it's fascinating because like if I'm a voter after – Max Duggan probably would have gotten my vote after that Big 12 championship game, even though they lost. Like, the dude was an absolute warrior. So I do think the regional aspect of it is interesting, too. And that's why I think there wasn't Stetson and Hendon. I think the SEC vote, the Southeastern voters, voted for Stetson. And I don't know whether they voted for Stetson first, second, or third, but I think those votes went to Stetson Bennett. The reason I think Caleb Williams is going to win it is because I think he's going to appear on every ballot. Mm-hmm. And I would say C.J. Stroud is probably second because I think whether he's first, second, or third, he's going to be on every single ballot. And then you'll have some combination of Hendon Hooker – I'm sorry, some combination of Stetson Bennett or Max Duggan third because I think they will appear on some but not all of them.
Yeah, I think that's probably how it'll shake out. I mean, I'd be surprised if Caleb Williams doesn't win it. I just was surprised that Stetson went there, and they got me to thinking that maybe there was a late switch here. I mean, Hendon Hooker didn't go. All right. I mean, that seems like it was going to be kind of logical here. The other debate we're having this morning is whether or not the committee got it right. Look, Georgia's going to take on all comers, but the fact that, Ohio State and TCU, do you think that the committee, in its zeal to avoid Michigan-Ohio State, do you think that they got it right in the rematch? Because I'm not sure that they did.
I think they did, because I think if you dropped TCU from three and put Ohio State at three, I think you are then punishing TCU for that extra game. Ultimately, those teams ended up with the same number of losses. TCU has one more win. Now, if you're ranking the best teams, and if you're ranking the teams like that have the most talent, certainly, then I think Ohio State should be at three. But this is always a combination of like best resume, best body of work, how they played throughout the season, strength of record, all that stuff. And from a strength of record standpoint, TCU was better this season because of the strength of the Big 12, even though just about every team ended up like 7-5. I do think that having TCU still be in with the one loss, even though they're not a conference champ, just like Ohio State's not a conference champ, I thought it was the right thing to do in that situation. You can point to Ohio State's wins, and then they have better top-end wins. But I think the body of work certainly favors TCU.
All right. Well, as always, Ronnie, we do appreciate it. Thanks much. We'll be talking as we get down towards crunch time, post-Heisman, and headed off to the bowls in the playoffs. Thanks.
You the man.
Yeah, guys, appreciate it. Have a good one.
Roddy Jones, ACC and ESPN analyst, joining us on the WayForward.com hotline, talking a little college football as he does every week. Love his insight here. There is a big story brewing at State Farm, and it's about Trey Young and about this team and about Coach McMillan. And we will have, in a half an hour from now, Landry Fields, the general manager of the Atlanta Hawks, on live with you and I. And next up, though, Zach Klein of WSB, in a Q&A session, decided to go after Trey a little bit about this whole fact that he didn't show up for the game the other night. And we have the audio, and we're going to play that for you next on The Morning Show with John and you on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.